old kid in and out of jail. When his daddy said, "This is the last time I'll pay bail," so he enlisted in the army and they sent him to Iraq. He was a different man when he came back. Some people said the army must have whipped you into shape, but he said, "That's not the reason that I've changed. Somebody died for me before I even asked for help, gave his life for me. When I couldn't save myself, I cannot live the way I've lived or be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me." Now they fold the flag and they place the silver star, while the grieving mother leans against his arm. Then he stands before the family and does his best to tell how he survived the night his best friend fell. He said no one who knew him was surprised he died that way. He tried to live for Jesus. Oh, he always used to say, "Somebody died for me before I even asked for help, gave his life for me. For I couldn't save myself, I cannot live the way I've lived or be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me. A moment of the time that I have left. With every breath I'm given, God help me not forget. God help me not forget. Somebody died for me before I even asked for help, gave his life for me. When I couldn't save myself, I cannot live the way I've lived or be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me.
Dear Mr. and Mrs. Bateman.
Dear Mrs. Cushman.
We regret to inform you that your husband has been killed in action.
The tragic loss of your son has shocked all of us deeply.
I extend my most profound sympathy to you on the recent loss of your daughter, who laid down her life on the field of battle.
It is nearly impossible to find the words to say to the parents of one who has been killed in war.
Some measure of comfort may be derived from the knowledge that he died in the service of his country and in the defense of a peace-loving people.
Her enthusiasm and discipline marked her as an outstanding soldier, and as such, she commanded the respect of the officers and fellow soldiers of this unit.
I am confident that his devotion to duty at the cost of all held dear will hasten the day when ruthless aggression shall disappear from the face of the earth.
I am proud to have served with him.
Our faith enables us to withstand the shock and grief of death.
It is my earnest prayer that Almighty God will sustain and strengthen you in this hour of trial.
While the loss of your beloved one will be a hardship, we know that no life is truly lost for those who have faith in God.
To all of you who have received these letters of condolence, and to all the brave men and women who gave their lives in defense of freedom, we remember you and honor you today.
Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua. I'll not be preaching out of this, but rather it'll be the foundation upon which the message will be. Let me first say that it was good to see your family with you, you and Trenda. Good to have y'all with us this morning. And Brother Jackson, I'm so glad that you're feeling better, back in the harness. And I look across, and right back there, Debbie, do you see Sister Frances back there? Amen. We're so thankful you're doing better. And hope HE is doing better too, being prayed for. And let me see. Got some guests right back here by you, Brother Paolo. Yeah, I recognize one of them. It's good to have y'all with us today. And let me just get on around. Oh, who is that? Oh, there's my daughter and son-in-law from Florida. Came all the way up just to be here today. No, they didn't. They came up to see their mother. Tanya did. See, look at there. They look like conjoined twins. Thank God for y'all. Safe travel. Pray for that. This morning is the Day of Remembrance, Sunday. Tomorrow would be the Memorial Day. And there's so many things that we ought to be reminded of. And this day is one of those. Just to set the stage for why we're where we're going to be, and I y'all know I love Joshua. I love the city of Gilgal. I love the crossing there. I was teaching it in Sunday school 50 years ago, and one of my students, Jason Goins, we'll forget. Young fella there, and I told him they were crossing by at this, the River Jordan at a little town called Gilgal, where God had instructed them to go. And Jason looked up and he said, "Well, how little was it?" And I said, "Well, it was a small town." He said, "Like this small?" I said, "Jason, just sit there." No, I didn't. I did try to clarify it as best I could, but something that happened there that was so important was Joshua, of course, had taken the leadership that God had given to him from Moses upon his death, and then led them into the promised land. But there at that crossing of Jordan, God instructed Joshua to get one man from each tribe, and they were to take each a large stone. Now don't ask me how large, but a large stone in order to set up as an altar of remembrance. As remembrance. So with that in mind, stand with me as we do reverence to the reading of God's Word. Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. The word of God says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord unto Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children, watch this, ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. God has established some memorials in our lives that we ought to not only respect, but to remember why and what they're doing there. Let's again go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. All right. Brother Mitchell, will you take us there, please, sir? Amen. Thank you. May be seated. And this morning, I want you all to know that the reason that I didn't welcome them as guests, because they're not. They've been here three times, and that y'all are family now, so y'all not guests anymore. All right. In this passage of Scripture, the Lord is reminding us that there are some things that we ought to remember. Sadly enough, the things that we generally remember, the things that ought to be forsaken and not dwelt upon, and rather we should spend our time thinking about those things that we ought to really count worthy of being remembered, and those things that that we should embrace. And unfortunately, we don't. But that's what God is saying that we ought to do. As a matter of fact, He knew that we were going to be a forgetful people. Why not? They were then, they are today, they will be tomorrow. As a matter of fact, in Scripture, the word remember, or another word that means the same thing, that's synonymous with it, 230 times God used it in Scripture. Now, that many times means that some of us are forgetful. But yet there are some things that we ought to cherish, that should we should be reminded of often. If something or someone is really important to you, means something in your life, you can't wait to tell somebody else about it. If you have something in your possession that you really count of worth, you can't wait to let somebody else see it. You won't let them hold it, but you let them see it. Why? Because it has meaning. And I fear that we have forgotten, and in doing so, forsaken those things that we should remember as to why we are where we are, and why we have what we have, and why we can say what we say, why we can do what we do, why we can believe what we believe, and to proclaim that no matter what the world says. I'm talking about memorials. Talking about Memorial Day. I'm so thankful that God, knowing that, gave us these things in order to remember. In the Old Testament, He gave the Passover feast in order for the Israelites to remember what God did as they were led out of bondage, 400 years, 430, out of Egypt and brought to the promised land. And that's why when he was crossing there, Gideon got those stones to put them up as a memorial. So that when the children ask, what's that all about? Y'all ever taken the children on vacation? You pass a historical marker and all of a sudden say, what's that about? Listen, this is exactly what he's talking about. So when the children would see that memorial, they'd ask, Dad, what does that mean? Now watch this, Mom and Dad. In this day and age, you better be able to take and tell your children what something means.
That's right. Amen.
We ought to be thinking on the things we should and not on those we shouldn't. In the New Testament, what did the Lord give us? He gave us the ordinance of communion. Why? So that we wouldn't forget what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. That man who died for me, who died for us, for all mankind. God gave that to us for that very purpose and for our remembrance of what Christ did for us. How do we train our thinking? How do we train our minds to doing this? The Word of God says this, and this will help us. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Some of you can quote these verses. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And one person said, amen. Folks, that's for all of us. Brother Farley, like you and I were talking about, why there's so much depression and why there's so much going on where they're just, it seems like they just can't get motivated, can't get going. Let me give you something to think about. Think about Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Think about the good things. Think about those things that God gave us for remembrance. Think on the good things. And I want you to know this morning, as horrible as war is, there are some mighty good things that came out of it for America. It's called freedom. Got a Silver Star mother right back here. And I want you to know when I get to heaven, I'm going to think, Colonel Wright, I'm going to still call him there. But I'm going to thank him for the difference he made for our nation. So grateful. So thankful. And that's what reminded, I thought about him Friday when I was at the school and Terrence on me. If you'll just look around you, there'll be many things that will remind you of the price that was paid for your freedom and mine. As a matter of fact, Brother Steve, the title of this message is Freedom. Freedom's cost is priceless. You can't put a price on freedom. Cannot be. So what are these things that God would have us to remember? Very briefly, because we can't go into the very depths of it, but we can sure be aware of what these three things are. First and foremost, we must remember the soldiers who died for our freedom. That's what Memorial Day was all set up about from the Civil War on, now inclusive of all wars up to date, even those that are dying today for our freedom that we don't even think about, we take for granted. And yet, still today, we should remember the soldiers who have died and are dying for our freedoms. Now, not just because I served in the military, in the Army. Not just because I was in Vietnam. But because I'm a grateful American, I appreciate this day and this tomorrow day and this Sunday day for what it represents. I think about the lineage in my family and what was sacrificed, what was done. And I thank God for that privilege. Because without their bravery, their heroism, without their sacrifice, you and I wouldn't have freedom today. Period. It would not exist. Not certainly in the way that we have had the privilege of knowing freedom. Tomorrow is a day that we ought to pause and reflect and recognize the great price that was paid by so many. They paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly when you take the oath. Brother Cliff, when we took the oath to go into the military, we swore to protect and to go in and fight for God and country. And that's exactly what Scripture's talking about here. God's saying, listen, you want to know what the honorable thing is? Be willing to go and do whatever's necessary to provide for your loved ones, for your countrymen. Be willing to give your life. And so very many did. I'll mention that in just a moment. As a matter of fact, a while ago we sang in our national anthem, the home of the brave. That's my America. Amen. That song was rightly written right there. This is the home of the brave. Many have been wounded and scarred. But I'm so thankful, not only for those, but for those who gave all that they have so that you and I could live in freedom. From the Civil War on, and I'm not going to give you a lot of statistics for a specific reason. There will be some I'll give you later, but not for this. But from the Civil War on, there have been over 1 million lives that have been sacrificed for our freedom from the United States. Over 1 million lives. Why am I not interested in giving just statistics on that? It's for this reason. And I've never shared this in these nearly 30 years. But it's very personal to me. In Vietnam, there was a young soldier that we call it in the military getting short. And the shorter you get, those of you who've been in the military, Brother Perry, you know what I'm talking about, means you're getting that much closer to going home. And it's exciting. And this young man had spent 11 months out in the jungles of Vietnam. And he was on his way home. And the aircraft was bringing him in to Tan Sanut Air Force Base. And to fly back home. But instead, the aircraft was shot down. And by the time we recovered his body, and we had to naturally check his personal effects in order to be able to notify the family and all. And in his pocket was a letter from home. And in there was a picture. There was a picture of two ladies, an older gentleman in some overalls, and a little girl, young girl. It was his little sister, Susie. And she had written him the letter that said, Grandpa and Grandma, Mama and I can't wait for you to get home. They're fixing you your favorite meal. And we can hardly stand it. And we're so excited for you to be here. Oh, he made it home, but in a casket. Say, Brother John, why is this so personal to you? Because I'm tired of statistics. These are not statistics. These are real men and women. These are real people that were somebody's father, somebody's mother, somebody's brother, somebody's sister, somebody's son, somebody's daughter. It's more than how are we going to really be mindful of something if it doesn't mean anything to us? It's a number. No, it's not. It's a name. Satan is the one that hands out numbers. God passes out names. And I've got a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. I want our folks to know that we're not a number. We're a name. And it's written down in glory this morning. Something I read almost every year, and I'm not going to forsake it this year because I agree with it. These men and women are our real heroes. It is the soldier, not the theologian, who has secured our freedom of religion. It is the soldier, not the reporter, who has secured our freedom of the press. It is the soldier, not the protester, who has secured our freedom to demonstrate. It is the soldier, not the judge or the lawyer, who has secured our judicial system. It is the soldier, not the entrepreneur, who has secured our economic opportunity. It is the soldier whose coffin is draped in the flag, who has secured freedom for those who wish to burn our flag. It was a soldier. It was a soldier that did these things. It's been said that a man is not dead until he's forgotten. You want to know why the world's in the shape it's in today? They have forgotten about the greatest soldier commander in chief that ever lived and lives. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We must remember the soldiers who died for our freedom here in America. Secondly, we must remember the saints who died for the faith. Saints who died for the faith. If you're not friends with one of our missionaries, if you're not pen pals with one of our evangelists, if you're not, listen, you need to get to know them or you'll never know anything about them.
Yep, that's right.
Well, we have 23 missionaries. Well, that's good. Well, who are they? It's a wonderful thing to get to know them. We've got one right now in the South Pacific. It's had COVID 3 times. Served on the field nearly 40 years. No telling how many he has won to Christ, and those that he trained in the gospel of Jesus Christ have won to him. And he comes here, my friend, and thanks us for having a part, and in heaven we'll take and be part of the reason that those were saved there, because we supported them, prayed for them, loved them. I feel so unworthy, but so grateful, so thankful. We need to remember those who have died for the faith. Brother Richard's wife, Sister Jeannie, there on the field in Papua New Guinea, took some pastors and preachers to the airport with her husband, Brother Richard, so that they could fly over to Fiji where they were going to be going, where eventually they went, and or he did. And in the process, on the way back to their home. And by the way, let me tell you about their home, just in case you're not happy with yours. They had to go 400 yards just to a pool of water to get water to bring it back to their house. And yet never complained. And on her way back to the house, was in a car accident and was killed on a jungle road there. There are those that have given their all, their lives for the faith, and we never even think about them. We don't talk about them. We don't share that much. God help us that we not be forgetful of those who are great soldiers of the faith. Yes. Hebrews 13:3 says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. When one of our missionaries are agonizing, we ought to be agonizing. When they have a need, we ought to do everything in our power to meet that need. I'm talking about soldiers of Jesus Christ, soldiers of the cross that have paid and are paying that price. Right now, Brother Richard is back over there in the South Pacific, and his health, when the last time, Brother Steve, I told you, last time I talked to him, Brother Steve and I had just been talking about him, and on the way home, he calls me. Who'd have called me? And he calls me, and I could barely understand him. It was so hard for him to get his breath. I said, Brother Richard, you can't go. I said, Brother Richard, you need to rest. If you don't get that rest that you need, how are you going to go and talk to him, see him? He said, Brother John, got to go. He's over there right now. Be there another 2.5 months, 3 months. Brother Ed Hembry calls me on his way up north and said, Brother, I'm fixing to head out for Europe and to go and see the missionaries, our missionaries for BIMI, scattered all throughout Europe. He said, with the pandemic, we hadn't even been able to get on the field in order to take and encourage them. He said, how can you imagine people that are still serving God no matter what it takes and what they have to go through to do it? Nobody back here thinking about them. We need to remember the great soldiers of the cross that literally died for the faith. Right here in America, there are millions that don't even enjoy the liberties that we have. And all over the world, sister, there are those that can't even imagine having what we have. And yet we don't think about those that are going. We need to remember the brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering in order that they get the gospel message of and for salvation. It doesn't matter the adversity they go through, but yet we take it for granted. Wednesday night, a week before last, Brother Steve showed us a video of one of these persecuted brothers. As a matter of fact, you may know of him, Andrew Brunson. And when I pulled up that deal there, here's what it said, that he and his wife were involved in starting churches, training, aid to refugees, and having a house of prayer in Turkey for 23 years before they were falsely accused as terrorists. They were accused of being in terrorism, and this was in October of 2016. He was supposed to be either put in prison for life or death. But instead, after so much petitioning and negotiating and all, by 2018, he was able to leave, though many times he said that he thought he would die and was ready and willing if he must. But yet, we don't think about what's going on. And that's happening all over the world right now that you're not going to read about because society is not going to take and mention them. You and I have to take and pray. We must pray. We must remember each and every one of these and thank God for them. You say, well, Brother John, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, then go. You be the one to go. You go do what they're doing. Oh, but if not, let's pray for them. Let's support them from right here. Let's do all that God's enabled us to do. Amen? Some of these people that I'm talking about, and I wish that I had time this morning to take and go through a whole list of honoring these people and thanking God for them. I read about Bishop Ridley. He was burned at the stake because he maintained that was not Peter who was the church's foundation, but Peter's confession that Christ was the very Son of God. And so he was burned at the stake for it. Bishop Latimer was burned at the stake because he maintained that Christ made one sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Now listen to this. And that communion was not only an acceptable means of remembering what Jesus did on the cross. That's what it's about. It doesn't absolve you of anything, Tessie. It doesn't forgive you of anything. It is reminding you of the price Jesus Christ paid for our freedom. That's what, but he got burned at the stake for that. Sadly, we've got folks today that won't even go across the street to tell somebody about Jesus. Father, help us. It is estimated, I told you I'd give you some statistics that we needed to know and hear because you won't hear them. It is estimated that 43 million Christians have been killed for their faith since Christ's crucifixion. However, some 26 million of these have occurred in the last 100 years. Remember, you're talking about it's going to get worse? It already is. Estimates are that there is an average of 150 to 165,000 Christians who are martyred each year. It's getting worse. Come on. Oh, yeah. You want to see how many? Watch this. More than 200 million Christians worldwide live under the threat of persecution. Since 1983, approximately 2 million Christians have been killed by Muslims in the Sudan. Most of these deaths occurred at the hand of militant Muslims. Churches are regularly burned along with their Bibles and hymn books. Ministers have been murdered while government soldiers looked on. Christians have been crucified. In Iran, where Islam is the official religion, a person who converts to Christianity is subject to execution under Islamic law. In Saudi Arabia, there is no freedom of religion. No public worship services other than those at mosques are allowed. Anyone who converts to another religion is subject to execution. Anyone who participates in trying to convert someone to another religion may be imprisoned or executed. Church, there are those heroes of the faith that are being murdered every day for standing for Christ. Oh, I'm saying today that we need to remember our soldiers, our countrymen that fought for our liberty here. We need to take and we need to honor those that have fought for and are fighting for the faith of our nation. Those saints who died in the battle. We need to remember them. But lastly, we must also remember the Savior who died for our forgiveness. Amen. Whew. I think we mentioned him a few times already this morning. Oh, what a Savior. I wished I could sing. I'd sing that out right now. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, you know what causes us to stray from the Lord? Y'all realize what causes us to stray from the Lord? I know we're studying on Him, falling away. What does that is a result of not remembering what the Lord hath done. Amen. Let me just throw this in there. I didn't even have this in my message. You want to go back and you want to know what happened? You go and you research every time that Israel came under God's judgment for turning away from Him was because they failed to teach their children. There was no memorial that said, look what God has done. It's more of about me than it is about He, the God of our salvation. He died for us. What are these things? Very, very briefly, and I'm done. What causes us to stray is the forgetfulness, the not remembering the great things that God hath done. It must be imperative in our minds. So how is it that we remember Jesus Christ? Are you ready for this? It's more than just words. It's more than just words. As a matter of fact, James said that it's not just the hearing of the word, but the doing of the word. Let me tell you why we'll remember Christ if we'll do these things. Number one, we remember when we are faithful. Well, Brother John, I know we're supposed to be faithful. And that's not the question. The question is, are you faithful? Are we faithful? Because when we're doing something for Christ, that's faithfulness. That is saying, I remembered Christ. I've told you before, my sister wrote me Christmas cards and birthday cards and all that. And she asked me, as she was before she died, right before she died, she said, Bubba, you know why I sent you all those cards? And I said, yeah, to bug me and make me feel bad because I didn't send you any. She said, no, I just wanted you to know that I was thinking about you. I was thinking about you. You were on my heart, on my mind. Listen, when we do something for the cause of Christ, when we're faithful to do that which He has called us, commanded us, commissioned us to do, that's saying, Lord, I remember Thee. Lord, this is unto You. The Word of God says in Matthew 25:23, His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Faithfulness. Did you see that? That's faithfulness. Who was it done unto? The Lord. That's right. Luke 16:10 says, He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. When you're doing something right for God, listen, that's justful service and remembrance unto God. Not only that, but we're to remember Him when we're forgiving. Oh, I know this is going to, I'm not going to ask any hands to be raised. But if I were to ask, is there someone that's in your life that needs forgiveness and you haven't because it was their fault? May I say to you this morning, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Brother Darrell was on the cross because of me, because of my sin, because of your sin. He didn't do anything wrong. I did. Sister, He died so that I could be forgiven. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We've got no excuse for not to forgive someone, even if they're wrong. Even if you're in the right, forgive them. Well, what if they don't accept it? It don't matter. You're the one that just unloaded the burden of that feud. You're the one that has been made free. And in the process, what if they got free and got right with God? Look at what we've won, not for us, for Christ. You'll go and sit down in your easy chair and just say, unworthy, Lord, I'm unworthy. But thank You for who You are and what You've done. Lastly, we need to remember Him when we are fruitful. Now, you knew I was going to get there. Soul winners. He that winneth souls is wise. Colossians 1:10 says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Jesus himself said in Matthew 7:20, now watch this. You don't know what kind of Christian you are? Now don't get mad at me. I didn't write this book. It says, wherefore, by their fruits, ye shall know them. I had an old preacher that used to say, I'm not judging, I'm just fruit inspecting. I want you to know, even the lost man will judge your fruit.
Yes, that's right. Amen. Amen.
I've often said as a pastor, if you want to know, because I've had questions, Pastor, if I do such and such now, will I go to hell for that? Or, Pastor, if I do this, is this all that bad? Listen, if you really want to know what you ought to be doing, ask a lost man. He'll tell you what he expects you to act like, look like, talk like, smell like, dress like. You don't believe me? Ask him. We shouldn't need anybody to tell us anything because God's already said it. I like what Dr. Merritt said one time. He said, if God were to speak audibly today, he'd just repeat himself. When that which is perfect has come, and the word has already come to us. So, church, what I'm saying this morning is that we will determine how much remembering that we do. Our soldiers of our country, soldiers of the cross, our soldiers of God's command towards us, to take and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I was thinking about our children coming from Florida. And it reminds me of a story. As a matter of fact, some of you will probably know who this is. And he was a captain and in the Air Force. And they said that if you ever went... and it was in eastern Florida, on the eastern seacoast of Florida, that if anyone was to go there on a Friday night prior to 1973, that they would see an unusual sight. They would see an elderly man stooped over carrying a bucket of fish and walking down that pier. And at the end of that pier, he would just stop and he would take fish out of that bucket. And the seagulls would come and get the fish right out of his hand. He would do that on up until he passed away. And before he did pass away, though, they asked, why would you do such a thing? Why would you do this? Just feeding a seagull a fish, one after another. And he said, back during the war, he kind of co-captained the flying with Captain Cheery. And in the process, they were taking an important message is what it was. And this was in October of 1942. And they were taking a message to General MacArthur. And in the process, though, their plane was shot down and they went down in the Pacific. And all they could gather was some wooden rafts for the crew to be able to float on. After about 8 days, what little supply and food that they had was gone. Knowing that unless there was a miracle, that they would all perish out there in the Pacific. And then they had been out there a few more days, and Captain Cheery had a service. He preached. They taught. They sang, and they didn't have pianist either, Brother Steve, that day, or any of those. And they sang praises, and they prayed, and they asked Almighty God that if it be His will that they survive, that would He please perform a miracle. Brother, you probably read this story many times, Brother Cliff. And said, but Lord, we just leave it up to you. And Captain Rickenbacker decided at that point, Eddie Rickenbacker, he just laid back, said he took his cap, pulled it down over his eyes, and went to sleep. What else are you going to do? Said he didn't know why, but something, he felt something on his hat. And he said, I cannot explain it, how I knew that it was a seagull, but it was. And he said, everybody, all the men were really quiet. Didn't say a word. He said, I reached up slowly, and the seagull was still there. And he said, I grabbed it. And he said, that sustained us by being our food. And for the organs, they used those to catch fish. And they lived a month until they were rescued. And he said, because of God's miracle, he said, I feed these seagulls to remember God's grace on us and provision because of a seagull. And that's our problem, is we're failing to remember. Remember. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Keep our eyes, our heart, in our minds focused, church, on the cross and what Christ did for each and every one of us. We must do that. Why? Because freedom is priceless. How can you put a price on what Jesus did for your spiritual freedom and mine? How he freed us from the bondage of sin. Death, hell, and the grave. Whew. I'm so thankful this morning that he does. And may I just say this before we pray. He remembers you every moment of every day. God never forgets us. He never forgets to remember. Father, may we not forget to remember the great things you have done. Dear God, I've confessed to you, I cannot understand so great a love as yours that you would send your only begotten Son to die in my stead, to become my propitiation. I'm not worthy, oh God, but I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. As Paul said, at every remembrance of you, Father, I thank you and I want to thank you. I never want to fail to not thank you. Because, dear God, I know it wasn't me. And yet you love me in spite of me. Oh, Father, please, this morning, Holy Spirit, make that known to that heart that may be lost here this morning. Oh, Father, if they are, I know that you will. That, Father, that they'll know. Oh, that there's a risen living Savior that cares about them, that loves them, that has never forgotten them. They who, our Heavenly Father, who you created, Lord, you never forget. Father, I pray this morning that they too will become a child of the King. Father, a soldier of the cross. Lord, whatever's needful this morning, salvation, service, closer walk with thee. Father, a better memory, whatever is needed this morning, I pray, oh God, that we just say, Father, not my will but thine. And then, Father, yield to your will. And may we never fail or forget to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. For it is in Jesus' name, sir, that I ask all these things. Amen and amen. With heads bowed.